Well, turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, we're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. If you remember, he went there on his first missionary journey, and he gave them a great message. The message was of salvation and the Christian life. He declared that salvation was a gift by faith alone in Christ alone, and that's something we got to make sure everybody understands. Salvation is not based on what we do or try to do or keep on doing. Jesus died and rose again. Whoever believes in him has eternal life, and we're saved and saved forever. He then also talked about the Christian life in a walk of faith as we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. After he left, a group came in called Judaizers and came in and actually told them that in order to be saved, you need to keep the Mosaic law. If you were a man, you need to be circumcised, come under the law of Moses to be saved. And then the Christian life, what they call Christian life, was actually living by the law and those kind of things. So Paul writes this letter to these churches. This is what we call the letter to the Galatians. And he's writing to turn them back, to help them understand the truth. Chapters 1 through 4, the emphasis is on salvation. Over and over again, salvation is by grace through faith. And in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So he talked about that. As we get to chapters 5 and 6 is where we are, the emphasis is on Christian life. And he's going to talk about a walk of faith. The key there is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in chapter 5, Paul is giving the foundational truths on how we live as Christians. And we deal with this battle inside. And there is a battle inside. There's a battle going on to either live by our flesh, which is a natural bent to sin, or by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And last time, not last week, but last time we were looking at Galatians, we saw the contrast in this passage between the flesh and the spirit. He said, walk in the spirit, do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another. And last time we actually saw the deeds of the flesh. And there is the fruit of the spirit. The deeds of the flesh always result in sin, and the fruit of the spirit results in righteousness and godliness. And last time we saw those deeds, and I tell you, we actually said in a jokingly way, since we go verse by verse, passage by passage through the Bible, we started to say, well, why don't we just skip 19, 20, and 21 and go on to 22, because 22 is more fun. But the bottom line is, what do we look like when we're controlled by the flesh? Well, this morning, we're going to look at what we'd call the fruit of the Spirit. How do we live? What do we look like? What will come out in our lives when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit? It's a very powerful passage. And let me tell you, you know, you're going to look at your life as a believer and say, I'm evidently controlled by the flesh. Evidently, I'm controlled by the Spirit. We'll see that. Well, there's a disease people call all the time schizophrenia, and they want to say it's multiple personalities or it's like two people inside somebody, and they lose touch of reality. And sometimes people suffer from this. They'll be one way, and then they'll be another way. Or there's a thing sometimes called bipolar, in which a person is, they're up one time, and they're down another time, and it's like a big pull. And sometimes as believers, we feel like we're pulled this way. I mean, there's this pull within us because there's the flesh, which is the natural bent to sin. It's inside of us pulling us. And then there's the Holy Spirit, which is pulling us to please God. And if you've ever thought about it, the lust of the flesh is a strong desire, the bent to sin. We all come into this world with a natural capacity to do wrong. It's natural to sin. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Even as a new believer or as a Christian, when you trust in Christ as Savior, you still have the pull to sin, that battle that's going on. But we also, as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit's inside of us, and there's the desire of the Spirit, the desire to obey. And so there's this battle going on inside of every one of us. And I'm not even telling you that you know this. You know what goes on inside of you. There are times of us, we feel just like Paul in Romans chapter 7, when Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. What a wretched person I am. And there's sometimes you say, I want to live for Christ, and I don't. And I don't want to do this sin, and yet I do. And there's this battle, and it goes on inside of us. As long as we live, we'll have these pulls. In Galatians 5:17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, or the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, or the spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition to one another, that's inside of us, so that we may not do the things that we please. And we saw several weeks ago, the only way to have victory is walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. Every one of us in this room, you've got this battle going on inside of you. You know Jesus Christ is Savior. You've got this battle. And it's pulling us. And God gives us a means of victory. And that's God, the Holy Spirit, actually inside of us. God lives inside of us. And last time we saw the deeds of the flesh. And I mean, it's horrible when you think about it. And we looked at verses 19, 20, and 21, where he says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, And he said things like immorality and impurity and sensuality and idolatry and enmities and sorcery and jealousy and anger and disputes and he just lifted over and over. We divided it in this way. We said there are sexual sins, there are religious sins, there are personal relationship sins, there are social sins. So we took that little section and divided it into four different things. Now we saw that, and we know that as a believer, you and I, we are both capable of living this out. If we're controlled by the flesh, there will be impurity and sensuality and disputes and dissensions and anger and jealousy and enviness and enmities and strife. That's all going to happen. He ends the passage with a statement that confuses a lot of people. And we took the time to go over it last time. I want to remind you this time. Look at the end of verse 21. He says, there's envy and drunkenness and carousing and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And people go, what does that mean? What does it mean to inherit the kingdom of God? We said that there are a lot of people, and here's what a lot of people do. When they see something like that, they say, okay, people who live this way, if they're drunkenness and idolatry and sorceries and all this stuff, if they live this way, either they're not saved, it just shows they're not saved, or they lose their salvation, because they think that it means to inherit the kingdom of God means to get to go to heaven. But I want you to understand something, that to inherit the kingdom is different from entering the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand that inherit the kingdom deals with rewards. Entering the kingdom deals with salvation. We enter the kingdom by faith alone in Christ alone. It's not our works. It's not our lifestyle. It's not our goodness. It's none of that. We enter the kingdom. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter the kingdom. Inheriting the kingdom is not entering the kingdom. Entering the kingdom is salvation. Inheriting the kingdom deals with rewards. And how we live now, and I guarantee you, if you live in the flesh, you're not going to inherit the kingdom. You're not going to have rewards when you stand before your Savior. As Rachel sang in that song, we want to stand there and hear him say, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear him say, well done. If you live in the flesh, if they're coming out of your life is immorality and idolatry and enmities and strife and jealousy and all of those things, you're not inheriting the kingdom. Okay? You enter the kingdom by faith. It's a gift. Cost you nothing. Inheriting the kingdom is at living righteously and godly. In fact, let's put it this way. If you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to inherit. If you live in the power of the flesh, you're not going to inherit. It's that simple. And so we're going to see it. So here's the question that as we look at our passage this morning, we just want to think about something. What difference does it make if we're controlled by the flesh or the Holy Spirit? What difference does it really make? If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're saved and saved forever. So what difference does it make? And then the second thing is, what really comes out of us when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit? Well, let me raise a point that I want you to think about. What difference does it make if we're controlled by the flesh or the Holy Spirit? Let me show you some things. First of all, it affects your testimony. As a believer, if you're living in the flesh, you look like an unbeliever. You live in the same way as an unbeliever. Paul writes the Corinthians, and they're living fleshly lives, and he says in 1 Corinthians 3:3, you look like mere people. You look like mere men. He's saying you look like unbelievers the way you're living. That's why you can't look at a person's lifestyle and determine if a person's a Christian, because they could be a believer living in the flesh, and they look just like an unbeliever. And it affects our testimony. If we live by the power of the Holy Spirit, the character of Jesus Christ comes out, and we affect people, and there's a testimony. The second thing, it affects fellowship. It affects our fellowship. If you're living in the flesh, you have broken fellowship with God and broken fellowship with other believers. I didn't say relationship. Relationship can never be broken. If you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, your relationship is a child of God, and you're saved and saved forever. But your fellowship, when you have sin in your life, when you're living in the power of the flesh, you do not have fellowship with God. And if you're not in fellowship with God, you're not in fellowship with fellow believers. Now, if you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is fellowship. As John writes in 1 John, he talks about our fellowship is with God and with the fellow believers. The third thing, and this is the other aspect of what difference does it make, what's going to come out in our lives? Is it going to be the flesh and the deeds of the flesh, or is it going to be the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? And so last time we looked at these passages, we saw the deeds of the flesh. And this morning what we want to do is we want to see what comes out of us when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, because this is what we want. As believers, we do not want to go through our lives living in the flesh. We're capable of doing that. It's a natural way to live. It's the natural bent. We did it all our lives until we trusted in Christ. We didn't have another capacity. When you trust in Christ, now you got God, the Holy Spirit inside of you. You do not have to live according to the flesh, but you can. And so we want to live not according to the flesh. We want to live according to the Spirit. Now, I want you to look at verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and he talks about fruit. Before we get into it, what is fruit? Because that's something we need to think about. When you look in the Bible and the Bible talks about fruit, I've had people come to me and they say, oh yeah, spiritual gifts and fruit of the Spirit, that's the same thing. No, they're not. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities that God has given to every Christian to serve within the body. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of our lives that come out when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about fruit, that it's not the same as spiritual gifts, okay? So let's talk about fruit. Sometimes the Bible talks about fruit and it's talking about reproduction. In other words, when you went, if you led someone to Christ, if you talked to somebody and they trusted in Christ, the Bible would call that fruit. Because Paul writes to the Romans and he says, I long to be there that I might have fruit among you, meaning that he would lead the people in Rome to Christ. The second aspect, and this is the one that we see in this passage, is character. The fruit that we're talking about in fruit of the Spirit is the character of a person. What comes out in our lives? How are we living? What do we look like? And we know that you can look like flesh and you can look like spirit. And so when he says the fruit of the Spirit, we're saying the character of a person who's controlled by the Holy Spirit. So that raises the big question, and that is this. What are we like when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and then he says, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now, by the way, isn't that a lot better list than idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies? I mean, think about it. The list, and you go, oh, I don't really like verses 19, 20, and 21, but I like verses 22 and 23. So he says, what is the fruit? What is the production that comes out in our lives? Now, what is amazing is this. Every one of us in this room are capable of producing the fruit in the Spirit because we have the Holy Spirit. When I say everyone in this room that you've trusted Christ as Savior, that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and if we are walking the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and coming out in our lives will be love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, if we're controlled by the flesh, then what's going to be coming out is those enmity and immorality and sorcery and jealousy and anger and disputes and dissensions and envying and all. That's what's going to be coming out. And we talked about it several weeks ago when we looked at that. Now let's look at fruit of the Spirit, and we can divide it in this way. The first three deal with relationship with God. The next three deal with relationship with each other, And then the other one is relationship with ourselves. So let's look at it. Look at verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And let's talk about relationship with God. The first one is love. Love comes out. Let me out of the way. Love is the overarching one. Love is the overarching aspect of our lives. Jesus said, they'll know you belong to me by your love for one another. Love is the key. And so what comes out of your life when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit is love. And there's a Greek word here. It's agape. It means divine love. It is God's love that comes through you. Let me tell you, when you look at somebody and the power of the Holy Spirit, you love them. You look at them and you say, I love that person. I love it. We see each other on Sunday mornings and people are hugging each other and say, hey, we love you. Okay? That's not natural. That's supernatural. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the agape love. Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you. There are several words for love in the Greek language. Let me show you. The top one there is agape. And that's the word that is used of God's love for us and the way we're to love others. There's another Greek word, phileo, which is almost a brotherly love type aspect. It's the idea of I love you because you love me. And then there's a word called storge right there, which is actually a partnership. It's almost a marriage type love. It's not the same as the agape love, but it's the idea that we two want to be together. And the last word is eros. We get erotic from it. It means a sexual love. Those four words are the Greek words for love. Eros, and eros is not found in the Bible. That one's not. Storge is found once. Phileo and agape are found a lot, but agape is found the most. It's the one for us. It's the divine love. It's the love that comes out when we live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the overarching one. So the first question I want to ask you, do you love these people in this room? Do you love other people? Are you being filled with the Spirit? And what's coming out is your love for one another. This is how we do ministry. Galatians 5:13 says, you were called to freedom, brethren, only don't use your freedom for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The power of the Holy Spirit, you reach out and you serve. You know, on Sunday mornings, like, I mean, I just look at this church. It is amazing. The people get here and they're serving and loving and reaching out, and you can just tell that they love Jesus Christ. And see, that's the key when you think about it. In 1 John 4:9-11, it says, and this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his son to be the satisfactory payment of our sin. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And we love God and others. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love others as I have loved you. We're to walk in love. We're to love as God has loved us. The first and overarching aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is loving people. And when you feel love for us, when you say, Lord, I want my life to count for you. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And you start looking at people in love. You say, hey, I'm that's not me. That's different. That's God through me. It is an unconditional, unchanging love. So he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Boy, it's all over the Bible, isn't it? The second one is joy. Now, joy has this inner quality. It deals with our fellowship with God. It is joy based on the fact that we have fellowship with God. Now, let me show you something. There's a difference between joy and happiness. You know, we're happy if we win. Hey, we won the game. We're happy. We lost the game. We're not happy. Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on your fellowship with the Lord. When we are in fellowship with God and controlled by the Holy Spirit, there is this joy that is not based on circumstances. There are people in our church that have the joy of salvation and they're going through some terrible circumstances, but they have joy. So the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And there's more, there's a third one. It's peace. Look what he says, love, joy, peace. Now peace has this idea of security and calmness. And it literally, the Greek word means to bind together. There's an idea of harmony and security. By the way, there are two kinds of peace in the Bible. There's peace with God and peace of God. Peace with God comes when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Romans 5:1-7, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is different. This is, we were enemies of God. We trust in Christ and he brings us together. This is the peace of God. And this is what we're talking about in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. It's God's peace that comes through our life. Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So the peace of God is in our lives when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. So when you wake up, there may be things bother us, but what we say is, Lord, I trust you and your peace. I'm anxious for nothing. I let my requests be made known, but your peace is there. The love and joy and peace. It's powerful. There's a peace that believers can experience as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter the circumstances. So that's in relationship to God. How about relationship with others? Look what he goes on to say. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Patience. That means long suffering. It means even when ill-treated. It means you don't get people back. It's the idea that I trust you. I trust God. And if somebody does something or somebody's in my way or somebody's not moving fast enough for me or something is they've done me wrong, you just have to trust God and you're patient. You're patient with people and you're patient with God. You just say, Lord, I don't understand. I'm trusting in you. When you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a patience there. We're not angry. We don't try to get people back. We're trusting God because he's in control. Now think about your life. Are you patient with people? What is your life like? What's coming out? But look at the next one. Patience, there's kindness. Kindness, it literally means acts of kindness. When you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you know what you want to do? You want to do something for people. You want to do something for other people. You want to, hey, oh, let me do that for you. Let me help you on that. I'll carry it. I'll carry that. Yeah, I'll do this. There's a kindness there. When you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're representing Jesus Christ. And this is acts of kindness. You're reaching out and doing for others. So think about your life. Is there love? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there patience? Is there kindness? And then the third one is goodness. It literally means doing good. Galatians 6:10 says, do good to all people, especially the household of faith. He says, do good to everybody, especially believers. It's the idea of doing not only just the good, but what is right. It even has an idea of generosity. It has an idea of giving. This word sort of says like, well, just do good. Just give. Just be generous. Just take what you have and use it for other people. You ever thought about your life? Why are you here? We're not here for us. We're here for others. We represent God. We represent Jesus Christ. And we're to touch lives for Christ. So our whole life is to be doing good to other people and to touching lives for Jesus Christ and to sharing the message. He says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And then it gets relationship to self. What about us? Look, what's the first one? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. That's doing what you're supposed to do. Being faithful. Be on time. Do what you say. One of the biggest traits in the world is that people look for faithful people. Well, when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, what should you be? Faithful. You should keep your word. You should do what you say. You should be a faithful believer, using the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the time, the resources that God has given you, using them for His glory. Being a faithful person. Starts with a little, goes to big. He that is faithful in that which is little will be faithful in that which is much. And you can tell, if you're not faithful, that's not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay? He goes on and says, gentleness. This word is a strange word because it really means power under control. It has an idea of connected with humility. See, humility doesn't mean that you think less of yourself, you just think of yourself less. You just say, I'm not that important. Not that I'm not special or anything, because I'm a creation of God and He's gifted me and tell, but my life is not to look at me, it's to look at others. And humility is power, God's power under control, that you're being used by God to touch lives. It's humility. And gentleness has this idea of humility. And you go back to Philippians chapter 2, and it says, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you, who left the glories of heaven and humbled himself to be a human being. And then it goes on to say, and humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ gave up his life. Humility. That's that whole idea of gentleness. You just come and you say, whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to do. I want to touch lives for you. Gentleness. Think about your life. Is there love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness? One more. This is when you can really tell. Self-control. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you control yourself. You control yourself. He says, self-control. It's the opposite of the flesh. The flesh says, I want to do what I want to do. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you say, I want to do what God wants me to do. The biggest downfall of most people is we can't control ourselves. You know, Paul says in First Corinthians 9, he says, those that run in a race exercise self-control. It means you do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. In the power of the Holy Spirit, be faithful. Do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Run the race with endurance. In the power of the Holy Spirit, self-control. Now look what he says. There's the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it's love and it's joy and it's peace and it's patience and it's kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Is that coming out in your life? Does that represent you? Would you say, that's me? Would you say, that's what I'm like? That's what you're like? That's what we're like? This is what we want to be? And by the way, notice how he ends the verse. Against such things, there is no law. That means this. It means law can't make this happen. There is no law that can bring these things to pass. There's no way that you say, I'm going to make up these rules, and if you do these rules, you'll love and have peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness. No, it only comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come from the law. There's no set of rules that will bring that about. People say, well, you want to be spiritual. How do you get spiritual? Well, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. No, the Bible never says that. The Bible doesn't say to be spiritual, don't do things. The Bible says to be spiritual, be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and there'll be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Historically, Christians have got it backwards. They've always said, just give us the rules. Give us the rules. What clothes can we wear? What movies can we go to? What kind of games can we play? Can we do this? Can we do this? Give us the rules and we'll be spiritual. You're not spiritual by rules. You're spiritual when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit and there's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. So look at your life. How are we doing? What's coming out in our lives? What's coming out? Deeds of the flesh or fruit of the Spirit? Deeds of the flesh or fruit of the Spirit? In the flesh, immorality, impurity, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, anger, dispute, factions, envy. In the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control. No law can make that happen. Only God, through you, can make that happen. Now, I want to end by looking at the next verse. Now, we're going to get this next week, but I want you to see this. Because here's a statement, and we're going to see it in detail next week, so I'm just going to touch on it. He says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What in the world does he mean? See, you belong to Christ. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have the power of the Holy Spirit inside. He says you've crucified the flesh. And by the way, it's past tense in the Greek. You've put to death the flesh. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you don't have the flesh anymore. It means you don't have to obey the flesh anymore. All our lives before we trusted in Jesus Christ, we had the natural pull to sin. Now we trusted in Christ as Savior. We got the Holy Spirit. We don't have to obey the flesh. We can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Romans chapter 6, we'll talk about it probably next week, verses 1 through 10, he talks about we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. And what this actually says is the flesh no longer has authority over us. We do not have to obey the flesh, because this is battle, right? The flesh is telling us to sin, the Holy Spirit is telling us to live righteously. What we're going to see next week and some other times after that, you don't have to obey the flesh. You don't have to. It has no authority over you anymore. That's why the Bible can say, stop letting sin reign in your bodies. And we'll see it. Here's the charge. Walk in the Spirit, and there'll be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, no law can produce. What have we seen this morning? Well, let's think about this. Understand the battle within each of us. There is a battle. We've got the bent to sin and the power of God. It's contrary to one another. There's the battle going on. We realize there's the flesh, which is rebellion against God. There's the Holy Spirit, which is God, who is seeking to please the Father. And understand, you decide which one. You decide what's coming out in our lives. Think about it. Galatians, we're going to get it later on in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Here's what he says. Do not be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow of the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow of the Spirit, you will reap life. That's what he says. What's coming out in our lives? What do you want coming out in your life? So that takes us to number two, and this is the application. Let's live by the Holy Spirit and not the flesh. Live by the Spirit. That's why Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will be producing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, and faithfulness and self-control. That's what will come out. A great truth is this. You don't have to obey the flesh. We can have victory. So as we end, I want you to think about the Christian life. The Christian life is a walk by faith. In love, because that's what we've been seeing, based on the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit.